Right. Welcome, everybody. Hope the roads aren't too bad yet. But we called our meeting to order earlier. We had an executive session. So at this point in our agenda, we're ready for the Pledge of Allegiance. So if everybody would stand up and join me, we've got the flag back there. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, and thank you, Mrs. Lewis, for hosting our meeting tonight. And we've got quite a few guests here tonight, so this is exciting. We'll try and be on our best behavior. First up, we need a motion to adopt our agenda. Motion by Ms. Powers.
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage. Roll call.
Ms. Powers.
Yes.
Ms. Savage.
Yes.
Mr. Luke.
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next, we have the Employee of the Month presentation. So first, I would need a motion to recommend to approve Sarah Miller as the Classified Employee of the Month for December of 2018.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Savage?
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith.
All right. It's my privilege. Sarah, if you want to come on up here, I make you stand here while I talk about you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right, so it's my pleasure to be able to read what Sarah's co-workers said about her in order to be nominated today. So your face can turn around and all that stuff, right? So Sarah is an aide at Raymond. She works in the office as our aide and building aide. She does our clinic and building aide. She does an amazing job of juggling all the responsibilities of both positions, taking care of our students when they aren't feeling well, and calling parents to check absences, and she does it all with a smile on her face. Sarah is one of those people who make you feel better after you talk to her due to her positive personality. She is willing to jump in and help out wherever she is needed, and often does so without being asked. Our students are in good hands when they come to see Sarah, whether it's for a headache, scratched up knee, or an empty belly. She takes care of them with patience and kindness, and also make sure our parents are kept in the know. She's a valuable member of the Raymond family, and we are fortunate to have her supporting our staff and students. Congratulations, Sarah.
Thank
and I
you
would
very
say,
much.
Thanks, Sarah.
Congratulations,
Thank
Sarah.
You,
good to see you.
Thank you.
And I know Mr. Smith and I served on our levy committee, and Sarah was a very important part of that levy committee. I know when I went out to Raymond for something else, she was out working, so she's just always there to help out.
And always smiling. Like that,
that
comment
is
so true.
It is, yeah.
There you go.
Okay. Then we have a roll call, please.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes, motion carries, so officially, congratulations. Next on the agenda, we are going to have a presentation from Navin Elementary. Ms. Lewis.
Hi, thanks for everybody for coming.
Sure.
We wanted to talk about our community partnership award first, if that's okay.
Sure.
Kate, I'm going to make you come up here. So we'd like to honor Kate McCartney from the Marysville Public Library as our community partner. I don't know if people know how much the library does for us, our kids, and so I thought it would be a great idea to just recognize her because I don't feel like she gets the recognition probably she deserves. So Kate does a lot for our students. She visits classrooms, reads stories. She talks about things that they might be interested in at the library to certainly develop that love of reading. Kate has come here many years now and done a book club at lunch, usually for our third and fourth graders. This year, just fourth, I think. But in the past, it has been both. And also that the new program that you have, we really want to thank you. So now, to make life easier for our teachers, they can call the library, go online to the library, and order up books and things that they would like to use for instruction, or they might want a class set of books to read, and they don't have enough. So
Kate will look up, find 20 books or copies or 25 or whatever. They deliver them right to our office, and the teachers use them and then return them to the tubs, and someone comes and picks them up and takes them back. And that has been, I think, a valuable, valuable
I think it's helped the teachers a lot.
I think it has, too. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's a million other things that the public library does in our summer program and things like that. So we just wanted to thank Kate for being a great community partner, and we hope you will do so for many years to come. Thank you so
thank
much.
You. Thank you.
That's right. You have to come to the library. Thank you so much, Kate.
So we just wanted to do a little, just a little quick presentation on learning modalities and personalized learning. As everybody knows, you know, our work is in the vein of just creating and deepening everything we do in a student-centered classroom. And so we encourage our teachers to get to know the students and their families and things like that. They also need to help kids learn how they learn best. And that has a lot to do with learning modalities. So there's a lot of different needs that kids have that will help them learn better, and that is what the teachers are focusing on, and we'd like to talk a little bit about. So when we're talking about learning styles, some of us learn better visually, when we see stuff, when we hear stuff, when we touch stuff, and so there's lots of different needs that kids have. Kids have struggles sitting for long periods of time and might need movement and that kind of thing. So that when we're talking about learning styles and learning modalities, that's what we're referring to. So we just have a couple of our kids, and they're just teachers and kids are explaining some of the things that they do to make learning personal for them. And just as a quick aside, for some kids, they do it for the whole class because three kids might need something extra to help them learn better. And usually we find that if it benefits one, it benefits all. So some things are for a whole class, a whole class process, and some things are individualized by students.
Opened up. fantastic. And did you learn anything about yourself when you're doing this? Did you find something that you liked when you did all this?
You guys. Alan approached me on the playground one day and wondered what the seed was, and as you saw how he described it, we discovered through that he has a natural curiosity for nature. If we look at things he's good at, he says he's good at reading, and I was so surprised that all on his own he discovered the seed book in the library. And I just took advantage of that. We sat and looked through that book, and he learned how seeds travel, and then we realized, I said, look, you said you don't really like outside, because I don't. And I said, you like parts outside, and that's the nature part. So he's realizing, oh, I do have a likeness of outside, but it's specific to nature, and we added that up here to things he likes.
We're going to get ready to count to 100, and when we count to 100, we do some weird motions and we cross our bodies. Raise your hand if you can tell me why we do that. Why do we do that? Max, why do we do that?
Because it helps our brain.
Why does it help our brain?
Because it helps you count.
It helps you remember how to count, right? It keeps it in your brain. It helps your brain make connections. So the more that we cross our body and the more we practice counting, we're going to get better at it, right? It helps our brain grow. Okay, are we ready? 1 through 10, our motion is going to be this. Ready? Take one hand. Okay, you're going to cross to your shoulder. And then take the other hand, cross to the other shoulder. Ready? There you go. Start with your hand up. One.
Yeah, so when we count, we do it in different ways. First of all, I want to make sure that they can see the numbers. So for the visual learners, they're seeing the numbers as we count. And then we also say the numbers out loud so auditory learners can hear them. And then we also do movement with our numbers. Every number we say has a movement to it. We make sure that we cross the midline so that we're building brain connections and those pathways so that the kids really have those numbers stick in their heads. And so that way it meets all different kinds of
learning. Good. Now, big motion. Put your hand up. All the way down to our toes.
In our classroom, we use our alphabet chant because it provides information in a lot of different ways. The visual with the letters and the pictures, the auditory with the letters and the sounds, and the kinesthetic through the movement. Our students don't know how they learn yet, so we want to provide and give purpose to the different ways that they can learn.
Okay, so currently in social studies, we are doing a Native American project. It is one of the social studies standards to explain like a day in the life of Native American tribes in Ohio. So the students could go on to Schoology, and I had links in the social studies page to reading. I also had links in the Schoology page to videos. So that would help my visual learners, my visual and auditory learners. One of the ways they can show me is by making something with clay that I provided, so that provided some outlet for my tactile learners. The choices as a group, they work in groups because most of my kids on a PLP, I gave my kids, said they like to work in groups, but they could do a Google slide. So I got my techie kids. They could write and perform a skit, so I could get my kids that like to act and talk. I got a create an oral presentation with visuals. So again, just the talking kids, or make a museum display so that would put in some writing so they had to explain the artifact. And then the arty kids would have to make it, and then they decided as a group who was doing what and used each group.
We're choosing to do a museum instead of like just typing on docs. You can like type on docs, do a museum, and then we can print it instead of just typing.
So that's kind of a way that we try to reach every single need in the classroom, although all kids might not have the same needs, but it gives everybody a chance to shine and learn in the way they do best. So this is also an example of
what we do for professional development. This was one of our presentations at Principals Academy that we did to answer a driving question from Ashley and Heather. And I think that's a great way for us to share things that we do in our building and to see what others do. So it kind of serves a dual purpose, but makes us think a little deeper, and then we can in turn help our teachers think a little deeper. So any questions?
One of the questions that came to mind when the kindergarten teachers were talking, excuse me, there's a lot of like theory behind what they were doing, like about crossing the
midline. Mm-hmm.
Like, is that theory taught in their education degree, or are these more things that they're learning like in PD or working here?
We've talked about that. I did a lot of that when I taught because my students had some special needs, so I saw the value in it. But our occupational therapist is the one that goes in there and really helps them see things in a different way. She noticed the kindergartners, when they write, she has them lay on the floor and support themselves with their elbows because they don't have upper body strength. We used to climb trees and be outside doing things. They're not outside as much. And it was not just a couple kids. It was the whole class. So she incorporates things like that, either instructional settings or movements like that, helps the teachers incorporate it. And you really want both sides of your brain to be able to communicate with one another on top of the physical coordination and things. So it's very helpful.
So you're not assuming every teacher coming in actually has learned everything that we're doing as a district in their degree program. Is that true?
Correct. I would say the opposite is probably true.
Okay.
You know, there's some, but I don't know that I haven't seen the student teachers or the other student from colleges coming in to do practicums. I've seen that they take a lot more out with them. They just haven't been exposed to some of that, for sure.
I was kind of curious with the kindergarten groups when they were talking about, you know, trying to introduce all the different ways that students might learn. At what point did they have conversations, or how do the students start determining how they learn best?
Well, the first thing taking in kindergarten is they kind of start exposing everybody to an experience.
Right.
You know, when they do a classroom activity, and then keep adding to those experiences, and they're observing to see who is responding the best to what, and kind of giving them the opportunity to really play with that and figure out, you know, some of the different ways that they learn best. And then in first grade, they pick it up and they do the same thing. Mm-hmm. They start giving them multiple ways that they want to express what they've learned. Mm-hmm. Like, I know Terry Roman has had them do, they were two reporters. Yeah, I think you were there.
Yes, yes.
You know, those kinds of things. They can do a poster, a song, whatever. And some of that starts in kindergarten, but they have to experience it to know what really works for them. Just because they like it doesn't mean it's the best way they learn. So that's a big lesson to learn.
Right.
I think adults still have to figure that out.
Yeah.
I sure like pasta, but let's face
it. I know, yeah.
Maybe not the best choice, right?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I did have one question. Mm-hmm. You've been doing a number of marvelous things here in this building for several years. And have you seen, as kids have been exposed to this perspective, this method of instruction, have you seen the kids adapting and improving and moving forward more rapidly?
I would say if they have a substitute that is more traditional, that they're disappointed. Mm-hmm. And I know that they are expecting a certain level of independence and a certain type of relationship with their teacher. It's just a different feel. I don't know how to describe it. I was in a fourth grade class doing an observation.
I didn't know how to ask questions.
I know what you're asking. I was in a fourth grade classroom, and they had the lights out, and they were doing conferencing and writing, and there was music, and I looked at one of the kids. I said, I could stay in here all day. And he said, you know what? He said, going home is my least favorite time of the day. Dismissal is my least favorite time of the day.
Wow.
So that, to me, is a really important thing for them to enjoy what they're doing here and take pride in it, and really ownership of it. So, yes, and the more they, you know, experience it from kindergarten on up, I think it's going to be more ingrained. So, for sure.
It seems like that would really build their confidence, too. You know, I mean, I think, and that's, I think, so important as you move on to Creekview and middle school and everything, to just kind of have that confidence in what you're good at, how you learn, those kinds of things.
So. And just knowing that there's never failure. Failure is always an opportunity to try again. Right. And so I think that that makes a whole difference for kids that are moving forward. They're not afraid to keep trying. So it has made a significant difference. And I tell the teachers all the time, I wish you could go out and visit other districts and places. I think you would be surprised, because I think they think everybody's, they So, you know, it's just, you know what you know where you're at, but I just don't think they realize how unique it is and for the kids. So
I was kind of wondering about your staff, too, because, as you know, we were just in your building earlier this week, and I found it really interesting when I went into Mrs. Doty's classroom. It just kind of, I mean, she's been working on this. Well, you've all been working on this for a long time, but it felt like she's just at that point where she's really, I don't know, she's really kind of analyzing how this is working and understanding that every year it's going to be different.
Correct.
You know, and I think that was... It's really interesting to see that as you go to different buildings and you see the level that each building is. You guys are really on top of things.
I was telling them to go check their writing goals, and I'm thinking, what?
Yeah.
And so the charts
kindergarten,
there,
kindergarten
it's not
for
sentences,
people don't know.
But like if they have to draw a picture, they do a little symbol of a picture. It was really cute, but they were really, because it's been several days because we had snow day, and they had to go back in, and they were really looking at their goals chart, and then they were going to write. So I thought, well, I would have said that was not possible a few years ago, so I learned as well.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well done.
Okay.
Does anybody else need this for something? Or?
You're not going to need it? Okay. Okay, and let's see, do we have any public participation? Nope.
Oh, I'm sorry, no sign-ups.
Okay, no sign-ups. Thank you. Then next up, we are to the Ohio High Point Report, and we have after our organizational meeting this year, proud to announce that Mrs. Savage is going to be representing us at Ohio High Point. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Just a couple quick things. Had the organizational meeting on January 12th with... Dr. Rick Smith is the superintendent, and Eric Adelsberger is the treasurer, and Ann Reams was reelected as president. She's been president for the last several years, and then I'll be going through orientation on January 22nd. The meetings are the second and the fourth Wednesday. No one told me there was two meetings.
Well, you just learned something, didn't you?
Three or four a month.
Hey, that was good, Sue. You got a buyer.
I'm looking forward to it. It seems like a very nice group of people to work with. So.
Okay, great. Thank you. Superintendent's report.
All right. So I have just a few things. Just an enrollment update. Currently... we're up about 50 students compared to January of last year, so we're 5209, and they're kind of all over the place to say that we're high here or there. It's kind of spread across the district. Also, yesterday we used another Calamity Day, Ice Day, so we will be making up the day on March 8th, so that notification went out yesterday. Also, stadium project bids came in this week. We're kind of working through the process and our due diligence for doing recommendations and reference checks on those. So I would expect that we would need a special meeting sometime between now and the February meeting in order to bring the appropriate bid forward to the board.
Okay.
So we'll kind of organize that through Sue and keep you informed.
Are things looking positive?
Bids were all in line, so that was the good news. So the process would include looking at the lowest bid and vetting through references, and that's where we are now. Since they came in Monday to Thursday, we're just waiting to hear back from some people. but everything was in line much better than the last time, so I'm feeling good about that. So I feel confident we can bring something forward. It's just going to require a special meeting. The last thing, tomorrow, the two principals, three principals actually, Ashley included, Tri-Academy, Early College, and High School, principals will be meeting with their senior classes. You know, I've never felt great about not having graduation at the stadium, and since we chose to move forward with the project, we've been looking at venues. It just kind of disheartens us to hand out a ticket and limit people to come. So we will be moving graduation to Battelle Hall at the Convention Center in Columbus. Same date, same time. We met with them, last week, I believe, did a walkthrough. It'll work out perfectly. It'll be able to house or accommodate over 3,000 guests. Nice handicap area, etc. Currently, we incur costs about $10,000 with graduation, overtime for employees, and etc. The rental of this facility would cost us $14,000. So, and we would not be requiring our people to set up, tear down. They do all of that for you. We kind of lucked out. Franklin University is graduating on Friday. Worthington is on Sunday, I believe, and so we'll be Saturday. So it's pretty much already set up. It'll be kind of the reconstruction of the stage would be the only thing. So we were able to get some discounts because we were already going to be in a format that they had. So we felt pretty good about that, and it wouldn't cost that much extra to move. So a letter will be going out to parents in the morning, and then they'll have class meetings with the senior class students to let them, to inform them.
Okay. That does have one very significant benefit in that you don't have to make a decision on inclement weather.
Okay. Well, we talked about that too, right? The other bonus, we talked about parking. So as if you're going to graduation, we'll send out a link where you can go online and reserve your parking spot in advance. It seems like we talked to Worthington and some other schools that had used that venue, and we got great feedback. So we found them to be very accommodating, and it'll be a good change. Hopefully, you know, maybe parents and families can have a late lunch and then go to graduation in the evening.
Okay.
The other thing I have the honor of doing, so should I embarrass all of you and make you get up like I do Employee of the Month? So this month is Board Recognition Month, and I really don't know if our community and everyone truly values or gets the extent of what a great board that we have. I have never known a board to be more on top of and understanding and willing to learn of the things that are happening in classrooms and interested and passionate about our students. So that makes it great for me to work with and for you for together for the benefit of kids. So thank you. We have a little certificate for each one of you in recognition for that. So you can give them a round of applause because they're pretty amazing. Congratulations. I think we are really lucky. So,
well, you know how much we all enjoy working with you two and for our district. I mean, you know, we see presentations like this every month, and how could you not be excited? So, you got everybody's doing a great job. Thank you. Okay,
that's it for you.
Okay, treasurer report.
So for the treasurer's report, you know, typically we do a 5-year forecast in October, and then we do an update in May. But with the levy and some other really big changes we've had, I'm going to give a little presentation tonight regarding that. I was trying to figure out the best way to do it with so that you're really getting all the details of the changes. So instead of the usual PowerPoint, I'm actually going to kind of go more like we do in the finance committee and just hand out the actual forecast and go through it that way. So hopefully that works out well. So the first thing you're going to receive...
I was going to say, are you handing out some magnifying glasses too?
So the first thing we're going to look at is our 20-year permanent improvement forecast. Okay, so obviously this document changed significantly because of the 2 mil, no new millage permanent improvement levy that was approved in November. Okay, so first off, I would look at column for, it says projected fiscal year 2019.
Okay.
So in that column, what we changed on the revenue side, the first two lines, the first line is general property tax, so that's the property taxes that our residential taxpayers as well as our commercial taxpayers are paying. The line below that is listed as tangible personal property tax, but the revenue going in there is our public utility personal property tax, that revenue that comes from like the AEP power plant, utility lines, those kinds of things. So those two lines increased due to the revenue that's now coming from that 2 mils. Okay, so the bond millage went down by 2 mils, permanent improvement millage went up by 2 mils. So that revenue is, instead of going into the bond fund, is now coming into the permanent improvement fund. So you'll see that reflected. Well, actually, we've actually received our first advance from that revenue, and then in March we'll get our first full settlement from the county auditor for that levy. So you'll see half a year of tax revenue is shown there in fiscal 19, and then in fiscal 20 we'll start receiving a full year, and that flows throughout the forecast. Another good thing, I guess, that I like about having this additional 2 mils is because if you look at our tax rates that were just released, you know, we said this is a no new millage levy because of that change, but our tax rates actually went down, okay, because of increases in valuation, and it was very slight this year. But even with our new levy and, you know, all the discussion about that, our tax rates this year compared to last year are slightly lower than what they were. But due to with public utility personal property tax, they get taxed at the full voted rate. So they're paying the full, we're getting the benefit of that full millage. So that's a nice benefit to having that. So obviously the tax revenue went up. The fourth line on the revenue line, and you'll see the yellow highlight, and there's the $1.6 million number there. So that is where our TIF revenue is accounted for. So I'm sure you remember, as part of our kind of our levy promise, we said, well, if this no new millage levy passes, we've got the tax revenue coming into the PI fund. We'll take an equivalent amount, which equates to about $1.7 million, and we'll take that revenue, that TIF revenue, and put it towards the general fund to help with operating expenses. So you'll notice that the TIF revenue is going down due to taking that money and putting it towards the general fund. $1.7 million in half is $850,000, so we're looking at fiscal 19 putting $850,000, and then from 20 and on out it would be $1.7 million each year going to the general fund. So that's the impact on the revenue side. You know, looking at the numbers in total, in essence, even with those big shifts, the numbers are about the same. So because of the just really the shift and how the money was being put in there. The next three lines below that, a couple things we're accounting for there in regards to the stadium project. So the first number there in fiscal 19, we have, it's the row is titled Proceeds from Sale of Notes. There's $3.9 million in there. So that is assuming we are taking the draw from the loan that we are approved for the stadium project. So we would do that sometime between now and May is the time frame we have to do that. You know, another note, interest rates have gone up only slightly, but at the same time, it shows we made a good decision when this was probably 6 months ago. You know, we locked in rates at that time. So we're going to get a better interest rate because of the decision to lock in back in, I don't know, when was that, September or even August or whenever that was. So that was a good move. And then the next line below that were recording our stadium donations. So right now, right in here, we're anticipating a little over $1.5 million is what we have in the forecast. That's obviously subject to change based on some of the negotiations we have out there right now with a couple potential large donors. Tonight we're going to be approving an agreement with Impact 60, Honda Marysville, and Bruce Daniels personally. So that revenue is recorded in here as well. Kind of the good news of this is looking down on the expenditure side, and you know, one of the promises we made to the community is that you know, doing this stadium project, we would do it without impacting our regular maintenance schedule and our replacement schedule, and you know, we wouldn't, you know, buy less school buses because of the stadium project. So I did not touch you know, the first, you know, 10 or so rows of expenditures. You know, I didn't change the number of buses we're buying. I didn't cut any budgets anywhere on those lines on our replacement schedule. I did plug in a number for the actual stadium projects. You can see the $9.9 million in 19, and then we've got some numbers in 20, assuming it'll be crossed over a couple 2 years probably. And then also we're assuming paying back the interest, the loan with interest. We also plugged in a number because at some point, probably 10, 12 years from now, we'll have to replace the turf field. So we've got a number plugged in, built in there for that. Mm-hmm. So the good news is, even with all of that, you can see the bottom line, there's no red numbers. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no negative numbers. We're able to, the good thing is we're able to build this stadium with TIF revenue and private donations. That was the original goal, and we're able to do that without negatively impacting our regular replacement schedule. And one thing that, you know, I've talked about in the past, you look at the orange highlight there in 2030. Our bonds are going to be paid off in December of 2029. So one of our goals is to try to make sure we have a positive balance throughout there. And we do, obviously, looking that far ahead, a lot of things can change. You know, something, you know, you can have a major expense that's six, seven figures that would totally blow this thing up. But as of right now, things are looking pretty good. So that's the PI portion. Any questions?
My only question would be, what's your assumption for the TIF revenues moving forward then?
I would say, on the revenue side, I'm very conservative.
Okay.
There's actually a good chance that the numbers are going to be higher.
Right.
Based on recent history, those numbers could be, I would say, very conservative.
Gotcha. Okay. And will you have any of these extra available for those people who are just dying to see it?
Yeah, I've got one up here. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
That's right.
And if anybody would like to see it, I'm happy to email it out. So it's all public record.
This $1.5 million in yellow in 2003, that's the turf replacement?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. No, that's good news. Very good news.
Yep. So I will move on to the general fund five-year forecast. So the first document is the document we always go over with our finance committee. This is what I call the 5-year compare. So what we're doing with this document is we're looking at fiscal year 19, the year that we're in, and we're saying, well, where were we at when we did the October forecast, comparing it to our update right now, and what changed. So highlighting the significant changes, the first thing in revenue you're going to see is our unrestricted state grants and aid. That's our state foundation revenue that's driven by our enrollment. So you're going to see an increase there of $138,000 this year. That's due to our enrollment increasing. Mm-hmm. That number actually would be higher if it weren't for the cap. So we're actually getting the maximum amount we're allowed. So it's actually kind of good, I guess, to an extent, is that we're getting all the money that we possibly can from the state. So that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. I'd say we're going to be teetering back and forth for the next 4 or 5 years on, you know, being on the cap, being off the cap, yeah, depending on if our enrollment would come down a little bit or continue to go up. Because we're really, I mean, this year I think we're only about $40,000 onto the cap. So it's, okay, it's really close. Mm-hmm. The bottom line there, all other revenues, that's where TIF revenue is accounted for. So you'll see, well, there's a couple of different things hitting that line. So $850,000 is going to hit that line this year that was not originally in the forecast. And then also I've increased that line by an additional $200,000 based on interest revenue. Our Star Ohio account, the interest in that interest rate in Star Ohio now is a little over 2.5%. Which is almost unheard of since when I first became a treasurer. It's increased over 1% from just a year ago. So interest rates have really gone up, and it's a good time to have a large balance.
Just for state entities that can invest in that?
It's just for government. Unfortunately,
government?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry. So that's the revenue side. Further down below the blue line there, we have expenditures. The main things to hit this year, you'll see minus $196,000. That's from the performance bonus from our negotiated agreement. We had a few participants that qualified this year, but was not a large number. The maximum is $200,000, so it appears we're not going to, you know, take advantage of very much of that, so that money is being removed this year. The line below that is an increase of $137,000. That's due to our insurance rates. In the October forecast, I had already anticipated a very large increase, so that's why you're not seeing a much bigger difference than what there really could have been, because it was already kind of accounted for in October, so we had to increase it just a little bit more. The line below there, these are just more changes based on just this halfway point in the year and where we are. Our community school deduction from State Foundation is much lower than the budget, which is good. And then also our utilities, mainly electricity, is coming in less than the budget, so that's saving some money. Mainly driven by the revenue, the forecast for this January update is just under $1.5 million better than what we were showing in October. So very good news there. And then to give you a big picture, now this hopefully doesn't get too confusing, but I'm going to give you two different documents. You can just pass them one at a time.
Yep, one at a time, both documents.
And it won't be hard to know which is which once I explain.
Oh. Yeah, pass them both down. Okay.
Good. Okay, so this is what I call the 5-year forecast summary. So this takes out all the individual lines and just kind of sums them all up, and we can get a real big picture look at the forecast from at the 5-year level because of the TIF revenue hitting here, because of the extended agreement with the teachers union and those things. These are all now included in the forecast. So you'll see. The way you can tell which one's October forecast in January is look at the far bottom line, because in October we were looking at a $900,000 ending cash balance, so that was the October forecast. Mm-hmm. You can see now with the January update we're looking at a $10.9 million ending cash balance. The main driver behind that is going to be, well, obviously the enrollment. That caused a large increase in our projected revenue, but the TIF revenue being injected in is a large driver. And then also you'll notice in October there's that line in the forecast 11.3 where we have to account for basically projected levies. Mm-hmm. Well, because of that levy passing, mm-hmm. That revenue is now moved up into the revenue line. So that's the big driver in why the revenue line looks so much different. Okay, on the expenditure side, beyond fiscal year 19, some changes that we made with our extended agreement, fiscal year 21, there was a 3% raise added in the forecast originally. We had a 2% projected. And then in fiscal year 22, there's a 2.5% raise, whereas, again, in the previously that was projected at 2%. As part of that agreement in getting our insurance rates, getting the insurance rates for our staff down, the $200,000 performance bonus has been removed from the out years of the forecast. We're still assuming in fiscal year 20 that there will be a significant number paid out there. So that number is still in there for 20, but in those other out years, that number goes down. Other impacts from that insurance piece, the HSA number was reduced slightly because of the switch to the one plan and switching from the amount, the employer amount went down from $1,400 to $1,000 and $700 to $500, I believe is the number. And then also the WAVE stipends, which were equated to about $220,000, those were done away with as well. And then also the changes to the purchase services based on electricity and the community school deduction, those kind of flow through the forecast as well. So overall, you know, as we said when we, you know, when we were in our levy campaign, we said, you know, if we pass these levies, our, you know, our promise is we're going to be able to extend the need for an additional levy or a new money levy by 1 year. You can see based on our current assumptions, you know, that goal was accomplished. Mm-hmm. Because we're looking at fiscal year 23 with a healthy ending cash balance of close to $11 million. Wow. Right now, I would say the two biggest risks to the forecast, one would be our state foundation formula. Mm-hmm. If that were to change, if the formula stays as it is, then, you know, I think we're in pretty good shape. It's just that something could come in and they could come up with a whole new formula that could, you know, really reduce our revenue or something like that. And then the other biggest risk is going to be our insurance rates. It's been a bad few years in a row. You know, I think at some point they have to start changing for the better. But there's always the chance that, you know, another bad year could hit the forecast.
Okay.
So that's it.
Wow. It's great to see this in writing, print, and everything. Thanks a lot for taking the time to give us this update. So. Any questions? Yeah, really good stuff. Yeah. All right. Is that it?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let's see, for my report, we had a community coffee this past Saturday. Mr. Smith and I attended and had nobody who was coming in looking for us, but we managed to round up at least one couple of people, a mom with her kindergarten daughter who happens to attend Naden. And so I'd said I will be there on Monday, and I'm pretty sure I ran into her as she was coming into the library and said hello. Do you remember me? She's like, yes. So, yeah, but yeah, so that was our community coffee. We will continue to have them through, I think, at least May. Right now we have them scheduled on the Saturday before our board meetings, and so we try and send out reminders. We always love to have people come and talk to us, so. Also, we did our building visit switch this month, and so back in August, Brian and I attended 5 buildings, Dick and Nan attended 6 buildings, and so now, the beginning of this year, we switched, and Brian and I visited the 6 buildings, and Nan and Dick did the other 5. Did you guys have any comments from your visits?
I mean, we had a great time.
Yeah.
It's always fun to visit the school buildings. We saw a lot of great things that were going on. Mm-hmm. And I guess what I saw were students engaged in learning, and the vast majority of it, almost all of it, was self-directed, self-motivated, with teachers in a support role, helping them with whatever challenges they had. So it's exciting.
Yeah, very much enjoyed. Went to Raymond as our last stop. It was wonderful. Had the entire tour of the building, including the old part of the building, which I've been curious about. And Edgewood. Both my kids went to Edgewood, so that was kind of like going home. Again, so that was wonderful. BMS and that early college high school course and transportation department. And that was a very interesting visit. We talked to the bus mechanics. They were very happy to talk with us.
Yeah,
they're super, super nice. And
it's important for everybody to know that whatever role you have, if you're the bus mechanic, if you're the cook, the custodian, if you're building aid, if you're an administrator, whatever, everybody has to do their job to the best of their ability, or else it doesn't work. The system, our school district, just doesn't work. And so everywhere we went, we saw all of the school employees, regardless of their roles, responsibilities, doing their best work. And, you know, that's what it takes.
So, just so you can picture this, it takes an entire day to go through five or six buildings. And we are meeting a lot of teachers, we're meeting a lot of other staff, we're talking to principals, and I think we should continue this. We're talking to a lot of students. And first of all, I learn a lot. There are a lot of programs going on in the schools that I didn't know that we have. There's a lot of instructional techniques that I wasn't aware of. So it's a big learning experience of how much is actually going on in the district. But also, it's a chance to get a feel of something that might be a little bit more intangible, which is the attitudes of the staff and the teachers. And I ask a lot of open questions like, how's it going this year? How does it feel in the building? Are you glad to be here? And it's remarkable how positive the feelings are across the district. In every building, the staff, the teachers, and the kids are happy to be there, and they're enjoying their school day, and they're engaged with each other. And I'm talking about the entire day. Does that mean 100%? No, but it means a lot to me to see how much learning and how much positivity there is in our district from building to building.
Yeah. Well said. You know, I mean, I think, yeah, it's amazing. It's so heartwarming to go into those buildings and see what's going on. So I appreciate everybody's focus on the strategies and the personalized learning, and it's wonderful. So yes, we will continue that. I agree with you. I think it's wonderful. So let's see. Other than that, I think attended a chamber meeting yesterday, as I'm the business rep for that, and their focus there was just on kind of an update on economic development and growth projections for our region. So, you know, it's still showing Union County is the fastest growing county, and they're anticipating, I think, in the Columbus area, like a million new people between now and 2050, was it? I don't know, but anyways, a lot of growth. And then some of the challenges that come along with that. Continuing education opportunities for our board on February 5th. There's a decoding human resource for the board and administration. It's just a 10 to 2 event at Ohio School Boards Association in Columbus. So I thought might be kind of interesting because it talks, you know, sometimes board members may not completely understand what our role is in the hiring process and just the, you know, what our responsibilities are, what kind of questions to ask. And so if anybody's interested, you can check that out. Then the board officer training, February 9th. That's, I think, board member. They call it 201 now. But yeah, February 9th, they have one in Columbus or Findlay. That's a full day, Saturday, 9 to 3. And then a little ways in the future, the Board Leadership Institute is April 26th and 27th, and Capital Conference, November 10th and 12th. So those are our main opportunities for professional development. And just that reminder, if anybody wanted to turn in the application for the OSBA Award of Achievement or Master Board Member, not recognition, those applications are due tomorrow. I know Manna turned hers in. I think a lot of us attend enough. You've turned yours in. Good. So, and Brian, I don't know if you've turned one in, but it's just kind of a point system where, depending on how many training sessions or other leadership right. roles that you've taken on. And that's it for me. So, legislative report.
All right. Things have got busy since the legislature is now back in session. But the end of December was an unusually busy time because it was the end of a session of our legislature, and there were a number of pieces of legislation still hanging around. On the report that I have emailed you, the first part of it is email that I got from Will Schwartz, an OSBA lobbyist, and he's talking about some of the legislation that did not pass, and all of those were things which were opposed by OSBA, and he credits testimony and letters and the activities of board members and other educators around the state, superintendents, in helping to make sure that those pieces of legislation did not get acted on. Right now, the legislature is getting organized. There will be a lot of work on the budget with the new governor coming in. There will be starting the budget process, and the governor will make his budget, the House of Representatives will make their budget, the Senate will make their budget, and then at some point there will be a small group of people that sit down and make the decision of how we're going to spend money in Ohio. So there will be a lot of work probably over the next 4 or 5 months trying to get the voice of our community heard down in Columbus. I included some bills that were signed into law. All of those were things which OSB supported. Those were things that we felt good about in that. Let's see. Contacted Senator Peggy Lehner. Senator Lehner has been the chair of the Senate Education Committee, and her office and Senator Dave Burke's office are going to try to coordinate a day for those two senators to come and tour one or more of our school buildings. So hopefully that's on the horizon. Tomorrow, Dan and I are going to meet with new representative Tracy Richardson and talk with her about legislation. And I don't know if you have something you'd like to say about when you set the meeting up. So.
Oh, yeah. No, basically just to develop a relationship with Tracy, as we had with Dorothy previously and currently have with Dave. Mm-hmm. Make sure that they understand that we're here to be a resource for them and a sounding board for them, as well as provide information and feedback directly to them related to school type issues.
Yeah. And I've been working, been meeting with my partner from the Elida School Board in preparation for going to Washington and meeting with Congressman Jordan and Senators Brown and Portman. And I've got a letter that I've put on the end of this report. And We'll be taking some supplemental materials. I need to say that Annette talked with Kim Jude for about an hour and a half, and oh my God, she's got so many balls that she's trying to juggle, and if you mention filling out reports, she just her eyes roll back in her head. Her job and what she's doing on behalf of those students in our district that need extra support is absolutely amazing. And so she's given me a tremendous amount of information because the focus of the NSB effort is special education and Individuals with Disabilities Education Act. Okay. And so that's basically what we will be talking about and asking for the state to meet their, when they passed the law originally, they said they would pay 40% of the excess cost of educating disabled students. They funded about 15%. And so we're asking them to fulfill the rest of their financial responsibility, and also to reduce the amount of regulations, forms, documents, and so forth that have to be tracked, and to provide flexibility that would allow us to do what we're doing in this district, and that is using our reading program and what Steve has put together. There was an article that was in International Dyslexia. I've got printouts of that, and we'll be taking that because we test every student in reading and have a prescriptive program for anyone that needs additional support or help, and that's what we need to do with really all disabilities and all kids' situations, and federal law ought to allow our school districts the flexibility to be able to use the resources they give us to find out as much as we can about our kids as early as we possibly can, because early intervention leads to more successful students who have more successful lives, and it's also less expensive. That's my elevator speech.
All right. It's a good one. That's an awful lot of information in here. I appreciate you guys working on developing those, continuing to work on the relationships you already have, and reaching out to Tracy right away. So, nice work. And I do just kind of reiterate how the importance that you constantly work with Diane and our staff to make sure that we're presenting the information that pertains to our district.
Yeah,
so, I mean, good stuff.
Whether it's Columbus or Washington, D.C., I am excited to tell the story about what's going on in Marysville.
I believe it. All right, thank you. Next up, we have the Safety and Drug Committee report.
We met in January. Not a whole lot went on in our meeting because it's all new hiring, all new officers, everything. So that all took place. Also, Holly Zweisig is now stepping away from that, heading up the Drug Coalition, taking another position, and so a new girl came in. So there's a lot of adjustments going on right now. But however, yesterday, the first five dispensaries opened up in Ohio.
Yeah.
So they're up around the Cleveland-Canton area. They're the first five licensed.
Mm-hmm.
Here's one of them. You can see they kind of have a variety of stuff that they will be selling, so you can kind of look.
I mean, that looks pretty, it just looks high-end. Doesn't it? It looks fancy in there.
Yeah, I mean, suit and ties and the whole bit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But they are going to be, which is something that we've really got to watch, is that they are going to have a long, what's been approved right now is oils, tinctures, capsules, edibles, metered oil or solid preparation, patches, lotions, topical ointments, and plant material for use in vaporizers.
Okay.
So the edibles and the vapes are going to be, I think, a big issue for us in the schools. The health department is just finalizing the vape signs. So should be getting those shortly once they finalize everything that we can put them up and around the district.
Oh, okay, good.
For the no banking.
To add that, okay.
Yeah.
Good. Oh, I've been thinking about that, but I keep forgetting to ask. So.
Right.
Okay, good.
So, yeah.
So that'll be in all the buildings, just like where it says this is a non-smoking area,
no vaping
as well. Good.
Right. Because that's what I think is going to be the biggest thing of the kids being able to get a hold of that in the edibles.
Right.
So, I mean, they'll come in all forms, gummy bears, and, you know, it's going to be hard to.
All right. Thank you for that report. Next, I would accept a motion to approve the minutes from both our December 13th regular meeting and the January 7th organizational meeting.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Power.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Any comments, corrections? Okay, then roll call, please.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next, I would accept a motion to approve the Treasurer CFO action items.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Savage.
Second.
Second by Ms. Powers.
The only item I would point out in there is that we're asking for approval of the stadium rights naming agreement with Bruce Daniels, Honda Marysville, and Impact 60. This agreement has been vetted over the last couple months, so I think both parties are happy with this agreement, and we're obviously very appreciative of the large donation, $750,000, that this agreement will give towards the stadium project.
Okay. I would just add, I would include Shelby Daniels too, Bruce and Shelby Daniels. I saw that on there. Any questions or comments?
No, I was just going to say, we talk about partnerships.
Yes.
And Honda Marysville, Bruce Daniels, his family have been very supportive of our community and specifically of our school district. And I think this is a great opportunity for us to formalize a portion of that support, that partnership. And I see it as beneficial to the school district, but I see significant benefit to the community at large.
Mm-hmm.
So the stadium project is not just about athletics, it's about community.
Right.
And this is, I think, a very positive step in that direction.
I think the role of Impact 60 as well, you know, for anyone who's been a part of Impact 60 and what they stand for, I mean, that's, I don't know how you couldn't be behind that.
Right. Name to be determined.
Right. By
a group together to
February 15th.
Brainstorm that.
Yeah,
okay.
I was going to ask about that part. There's nothing in here about what the name's going to be.
Right.
It would be approved at a future date.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, we have the final approval. So,
Brian's place. I don't think it's on the
list. It's like, show me the money.
I didn't donate $750,000.
So there's still, this will be the stadium name, but there's still plenty of opportunities for other naming rights. Right? There's plenty of opportunities for other naming rights.
Diane's waiting for your check, and she'll put that
done. We haven't approved yet.
Yeah, that's right.
It's great. I know how hard everybody worked on this. You know, like you said, I know I was not here the meeting that they announced that big donation, and so I was sorry to have missed that. But I'm thrilled to be able to move forward now with this. So, stuff. Okay. Any other questions or comments for Todd? All the reports. Nope. Okay, then roll call.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next up, a motion to approve all of these superintendent items.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Powers?
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith.
Sure. We have not a ton of HR items, but a few HR items and some supplementals for the spring. We also have some first read policies, so if you've read through those, have any questions, Jonathan would be happy to take a phone call. It'll be approved next meeting. We have an overnight trip for baseball for the spring, several internships as well. You have the coursework for early college and the high school. So students will start course selection process. They've gone through the process of picking their school. I think we had, it's a larger class, 440, and the early college topped off enrollment at 185. So they do have a wait list started, but they are at capacity with that number. So that process has happened, and this will enable for students to make course selections for next year.
Okay. So with that process, did the middle school students had an opportunity to visit both buildings?
Mm-hmm.
And when does that happen?
It happened before Christmas break, so they had the opportunity to visit both buildings. There are parent nights as well, so families could come in and see as well. And then there was a window of opportunity for students to submit a form declaring which building they would prefer to attend.
Okay.
And so once that deadline passed, early college was sitting at about 185 at that time, and that pushes capacity. We'll have to do a few innovative things around staffing, but we'd like everyone that makes that choice within the deadline to have the opportunity if that's the choice for them. So, but again, they chose either way, so they submit the form for the high school or the early college building.
Right. No, it's kind of neat looking at those course handbooks. There's some really neat new opportunities, which is
excited
just nice
about
to see.
The development of performing arts. Excited about the business pathway development. Excited about some of the ads at early college. We're excited for the auto tech to continue to develop. Goodwin's been in there as well, starting that process. So, some new things coming our way.
That's great.
When Nan and I were at Bunsell, Michelle Kaufenbarger, I asked her about this process, and she said she felt like that there had been a significant change from the way in which the students and parents were looking at their potential college experiences, and that there was a lot more focus on the educational pathways rather than making selections about this building or that building, but looking at, you know, what courses are offered over here, what courses are offered over here, and what interest the student had, and how things might line up better for them. So that was a very positive report that we got. So hopefully that will continue.
Yeah, I think the ads at the high school have helped that, as they kind of have developed their own pathways and a little sense of focus as well. That's helped, you know, make that clarity of, okay, this is what I'm interested in. Whether I'm going to college or going to work, these are the skills I'm looking to gain or enhance or whatever. So I think it's been a nice complement to, they're both great options. It's just more about you as a learner, and we're hoping, you know, as you've heard us talk, we're helping kids understand that entire metacognitive process, you know, so I can articulate my own learning and then make some choices that are best, you know, with my family and make those decisions.
So. And I like the fact that if students like choir, they can still take choir whether they're in either building. So there's some flexibility in there as well. So that's nice. Any other comments? Okay. Roll call, please.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. And now we are to the comments and questions from board members. So, Mr. Smith.
I thought the visits that we took were really great. I'm excited about, you know, where we're going. It's nice to hear that we on the stadium project, that we're in a good place at this point, and look forward to moving that forward. I want to thank our hosts. this is, every building welcomes us, and this is no exception. The presentations are always amazing. When you think about all the stuff that's going on, but we just get to see little snapshots of it, but it's great stuff. So, thank you to all my fellow board members for all the hard work. It's fun working with you. So. That's it.
Okay.
Thank you for hosting us. We appreciate it very much, and thank you for your presentation. I also want to say I really enjoy the tours. Spending time in the schools is always enlightening, and I always learn so much from that experience. Thank you to Todd for the presentation of the forecast, and thank you also to Diane for everything you do every day. We appreciate it.
Thank you. I really appreciated seeing the video of the kids. That interaction is always fun to see. That makes their learning fun in their day. That really kind of hits home when you hear a child, their least favorite part of the day is to go home. So, you know, it just kind of makes you look like, you know, how neat it is to know that you're that special in their life, that they know where they can absorb the most for themselves. So, really appreciate that. And thanks, everyone.
So we as a board have our own goals and objectives that we lay out every year, and one of them is to serve as advocates for public education, and I take that seriously. I'm here because I believe in public education. It's different from private education, as public education means we're going to fund it collectively, local, state, federal, but also that we're committed to educate every single student. That's one of the differences about public education. Every student gets an education, whatever it takes. And I saw a few examples of that in action this week, one from the building visits. So we got to see parts of the schools like the autism unit. We got to see the emotionally disturbed unit. These are amazing things that we as a district have put together to make sure every student gets an education. Not every student costs the same to educate. Some it may be $5,000 a year, some 10, some 20 or 30, because they have special needs. So they need specially trained instructors. They need extra facilities. That's what we're doing here. And it's a beautiful thing to see these kids with special needs being taken care of, to walk into the room and see the equipment that they have there, to see the teachers there that have devoted their lives to learning how to take care of those kids that are autistic or have emotional disturbances or whatever, and to see how those teachers are committed to that and how they love those kids and are figuring out every day what they need to get educated. I also have been seeing that in my own family's life this week. I have two daughters. One is at Tri Academy, which is a new school for high school students that are at risk of not graduating on time. So I've got to visit Tri both as a board member but also as a parent and see how those 60 or so kids have teachers dedicated to figuring out what they need individually to graduate. And the first year it was very successful. And to have one of my daughters there and to know that she's getting that kind of love and attention is a beautiful thing. I also have another daughter who's at the STEM school, the early college high school, and she happens to be going through a health problem right now, and she's not able to attend school for a few months. And a staff member who is the liaison, the home school instructor, has come to our house twice in the last week to set up a program for her so that she can continue her education while she's, you know, dealing with this health issue. So those personal experiences are also bringing home this is what public education is really about, that we are committed to making sure every single student gets an education, and it's a wonderful thing to be a part of, and I'm proud to be a board member and to work with everybody here on that mission.
Excellent.
time. I'd just say thanks, you know, in honor of Board Recognition Month, and just it's been a pleasure to work with you, and thank you for the support and appreciation.
Thank you. One thing I would add is my other job is the weather person for the district, and the weather cycle is not great coming into the weekend, so weekend activities, show choirs, a huge show choir event is scheduled this weekend, and other things, so stay tuned. I was getting updates while we were sitting here, and it's not looking good. So stay home, stay warm, and stay tuned, right? Okay. Luckily, we don't have school Monday already, so
that's right.
I'm lucking
that's
out.
Right. I know. I think, like, the high on...
I think they have a big match, too, in Mechanicsburg.
Okay.
Wrestling.
Yeah.
Has a huge tournament. In
yeah, our varsity
Saturday.
Team is already at their tournament.
I mean, this one's fun sold.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right.
So
right.
Middle school is supposed to...
Yeah.
Have that Saturday too, so that may.
We have several, there's a couple middle school events and a couple high school events.
Yeah.
Okay. If I can add, I was doing grandpa duty on the day
yesterday.
We had a calamity. Day. And so early in the morning, I get the notice and I, on the phone, and I played it. The three grandsons were there, and I played it, and our distinguished assistant superintendent's voice boomed out across the room saying that school had been canceled, and the middle grandson said, "Ah, the voice of God."
You know, it's funny because I go out and drive at 4 a.m. He gets all the credit for the phone call. Isn't that funny? He's God, right? I'm chopped liver.
That's pretty good.
And you're a little red over there.
Yeah, it is.
Well, he's out on the road at 4 a.m. Yeah.
Well, I would like to thank you also for the presentation, and I also wanted to just give you a chance to introduce yourself. You're visiting our meeting tonight as part of your Boy Scout project, so why don't you just stand up and tell us what you're working on.
I'm Jackson Little. I'm here from Troop 355, and mm-hmm. I'm actually working on one of my prereqs for one of my merit badges, citizenship in the community.
Great. Well, we really appreciate you attending our meeting.
Thank you for coming.
I hope, did you learn anything tonight?
Yeah, I got to figure out kind of how things work a little bit better.
Okay.
Get a little bit better understanding of what you guys do.
Okay, good. And,
you need to get that sheet of paper over.
Oh, yeah, there financial paper. Yeah. Very good, yeah, okay. And again, did you say you attend Bunsold, right?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
And seventh grade or eighth?
Eighth
grade.
Okay. Yeah, thank you for attending our meeting. We appreciate it. Hope you learned something. Like you said, just some upcoming events that I had on my list here. The showcase, we'll see what happens. But also the Marysville High School Hall of Fame induction is on February 1st at 5:30. And so you're all welcome to attend that. The reception is in the Commons at 5:30, and then they introduce it's February 1st, Friday.
What is it now?
The Hall of Fame induction.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Nancy already. Yeah.
Okay.
Did you want to invite them to the check signing on February 1st?
Sure. Yeah. Is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Yes. So
February 1st, Impact 60, Bruce Daniel, and Honda Marysville will be awarding us
presenting the big
check.
Mm-hmm.
At 4:00.
At Honda Marysville.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. At Honda Marysville?
Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then one other thing I saw in there was, when I looked through the building notes, is that Navin has their STEAM night planned for February 8th from 6 to 8. So that's always a fun night to come in and see all the, I mean, yeah, you could just have fun there. You walk around and do, try a lot. Are you really? Wow. Okay.
So it'll be a blizzard.
Okay, of course. All right. You never know. It's Ohio. It could be 60 degrees,
it
right?
It could be. Absolutely.
And I, again, like just kind of reading through those building notes, there's always things that pop out to me. And one of them was the fact that our custodians and our bus drivers just, I mean, they do a great job throughout the entire year. But right now, especially, when you think about the snow coming in, so just driving in those kind of conditions and then keeping the buildings clean, whether it's snow or all the lovely germs that we deal with right now. So a shout out to all of our custodians and bus drivers. and really just kind of seeing all the unique talents from every building. I just appreciate them so much. When we visit them, we see it, but then in the building notes too, you know, Bunsold talked about how they had sent out the blankets to that one, I think it was another middle school, and she included the most beautiful thank you note from that lady. It was really touching. And just the impressive work at Creekview. They're kind of piloting the social studies mastery for the district, and the fact that our focus on literacy interventions are paying off so well. I mean, I think every elementary commented about the results of their AIR tests that were taken in the fall, and the you know, the passage rates are phenomenal. So, good work there. Thank you again to Bruce and Shelby and Impact 60. And we did, the reason we had our executive session tonight was to hold a mid-year review of our superintendent. We had done it for our treasurer at our organizational meeting, and I'd just like to do a shout-out for the great work that is done by our treasurer and superintendent. Things are just clicking here. So, and love all the information. I agree. And then I'll just finish with thank the rest of my board members, or not my, the rest of our board members for the phenomenal work that everyone does. So, with that, I would take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Powers.
Second
by Mr. Smith. Roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.